Hello and welcome to Glimmer of Genius. This podcast is all about Magic the Gathering, including all the latest happenings in the MTG community, tournament reports, what's winning at the moment, tips, deck ideas, and even a little bit of financial discussion as well. My name is Luke, and I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David.
Hello.
Are you well? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm right.
Cheers for sorting your gym schedule out to,
that's right,
to join. I do appreciate that. I was thinking of just doing a bit of an informal one this week. Just kind of talk about some stupid modern decks that I kind of mentioned.
Nice.
I don't know if you remember from the other week. Was there anything you wanted to chat about?
No, I haven't done too much recently. I've kind of decided to not engage too much with standards, actually.
Oh, really?
So I can talk about that a little bit if you want.
Yeah. Well, talk about it now. Why are you not doing that?
Well, I mean, I haven't really played standard for about 6 months, and obviously I need to update whatever deck I have. It doesn't really work anymore. I discovered I'd spent like an hour trying to standardise it. It didn't really work. And all the decks I've seen so far have kind of been a bit like, eh, whatever kind of thing. So, and also obviously the cost of trying to get back into something. Because like I said before, I'm sort of focusing more on Warhammer rather than standard. So I don't know if it's kind of worth it really. And I haven't even played modern for like properly at an event for like a year now. So, you know, if I want to play anything, modern's probably my go-to before I start getting back into standard again, you know.
Fair enough. What do you think sort of sparked this?
I don't know. I think mostly that I'm just trying to focus on, like I said before, like other hobbies like Warhammer and well, just general life stuff. I think it's I've just been sort of redistributing my time, really. I kind of want to finish like the other Magic projects I've got, like that, you know, proxying up certain cubes or finishing off certain cubes or whatever. Yeah. Once I've done those, then maybe. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like I want to do more of, you know, playing those sort of things before I start, you know, having to spend money to play other Magic events, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. If you're not enjoying or you're not interested in it, there's no point just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah. And obviously, that's fine for modern because I can dip in and out of that whenever I want. But yeah. Standard, obviously, it will literally cost money to, you know, arm and err about it. So That's why I've kind of gone like, now there's no point in buying into it, really.
No, I get it.
But then, you know, I've been up and down with Magic a lot, you know, since I've been playing it properly. So I might, you know, it might be, you know, the rest of, well, not the rest of the year because not much left, but like, say, I don't know, half of next year, maybe I'll get really stuck into Warhammer and then I'll be like, oh, actually, I want something different, then go back into it, I don't know. So, who knows?
Yeah. Myself, I've been playing a little bit of Magic. I obviously did the PPTQ a little while ago, and then since then I've done a couple of drafts, and then I haven't really done any FNMs, but I've been playing quite a little bit online. I've ventured into Arena.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've tried much Arena, but it is really good, but I haven't played it very much. I didn't realise the daily, basically you can do daily challenges on there. And then you can exchange gold for packs, and then so you can play like limited almost for free.
That was what was missing from like stuff like, because Magic Online did that.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's why I went over to like Hearthstone a lot, particularly from, you know, for comparing like to like electronically, but even just as a card game, that's why I kind of went for that, because it was just, you know, rewarding to play for an hour, do a thing, get some rewards. You know, put money into the game, and then sort of you know, play it casually like that. Yeah. And now that it's got that feature, that's the kind of thing that might make me want to go and play it again kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. The interesting thing about it is, to a degree, you'll be playing on there against people you want to be playing on there if you are interested in grinding. So like like in Hearthstone, you've got a ranking system.
Yeah, got you.
But I was speaking to Simon because I was a bit like, I've just started out, I've got my like pre-constructed deck that they give you. So yeah. I don't really want to be playing against people with actual standard decks.
Yeah.
But apparently if you're doing that, then you'll play against people with similar kind of crappy decks.
Yeah.
Whereas if you build your own one, then it's kind of like, right, all bets are off sort of thing. But you'll be playing against people same rank as you. So the odds are, say you tweaked your pre-con a little bit, and you're like, right, I'm going to try and play a non-pre-con fully lit deck list. You'll probably find someone who's in the same sort of point in their arena as you.
That's good.
Yeah, so they'll probably have a not so good deck as well to kind of try and build up against it. So it's quite interesting. I like the idea of it. Seems more appealing than I'd first gleaned from looking at it on the outside. So I'd like to try that a bit more. But at the moment, I've been focusing mainly on modern, which is kind of what's led me to the main theme of today's show. Whether I've realised it or not, I think I've shared quite a love-hate relationship with modern. And a lot of the time, I try and do some creative stuff and you kind of get shot down by the decks that exist. And then when you think, okay, I won't be creative, I'll try and do well. And then you play against the whole raft of stuff. Like, I've literally been in a situation where like I tested a deck that I think might have some legs, like this silly Bushwhacker deck a while ago.
Yeah.
Right, I'll try and basically kill, got a potential turn 2 kill. Goldfish is turn 3 to 4 quite reliably. But any deck with lots of removal can pick it apart. So it's kind of like, you know, it does its thing. Like a lot of decks in Modern, you know, either you do your stupid thing before your opponent does their stupid thing and see what happens. And I'd like play this deck and be like, right, okay, I'm fed up with it now. I'll try being sensible and go back to like an actual deck. Play an actual deck. And then you get paired against nothing consistent all the way through. It's like, right, got crushed by Blue White. Okay, got beaten by Storm. Beaten by Tron. You're like, okay, fine. And then you get beaten by someone else playing a different version of the janky Bushwhacker deck that I was playing, then comes in and beats me. It's like, oh, I can't think about how to like board against all of these different things like, all the time. It's crazy. So it's but other times it's really fun because you get to do silly broken things and it's really good. It's weird. It's really hard to, because there's a winner box at Dice. So obviously I'd like to do well to try and win the box, but Modern is a very difficult format to approach from a competitive inverted commas kind of standpoint, I think.
Then that's always like a secret sort of like, you know, mini aspiration dream of mine for me to just rock up at a, you know, I don't know, 24 man PPTQ or whatever and just play one of my absolute nonsense decks and just for it to do well because no one knows what the hell I'm doing. Yeah. You know, that's kind of little things like that. I like, you can't really do that as much with standard. With Modern, I think you can. So, I kind of like stuff.
Speaking of which, I'm going to show you some decks now that are all contenders for decks that I would love to be able to take to Dice and just do nonsense things with. So, disclaimer, first of all, none of these deck ideas are mine. I have stolen them all from the internet, mainly from watching other people stream, really. This is list numero uno. I'll just talk through a little bit of it. So this is called Zombie Hunt, and...
Oh, yes, I know this deck.
You know this deck. Okay.
I've played it. It's fun.
It is fun. I don't know if it actually ever does anything.
It's very, very inconsistent, but when it happens, then you feel really good, and then the opponent probably still stops you, and then you feel bad, but when it works and you also win, that rare time, it's great.
Darn, I was hoping you wouldn't know these decks. This basically is a deck based around the card Treasure Hunt, which is one colourless, one blue, sorcery. You reveal all the top cards of your library until you hit, is it four lands? No, until you hit a non-land spell, sorry, I was thinking of Mind Funeral. So you reveal top cards until you hit a non-land, and then you put all the cards you reveal that way into your hand. So the deck plays all land using things like Spawning Pool, Reliquary Tower, Oboro, Place in the Clouds, Mutavaults, Halimar Depths for some scrying action. All these like utility lands. And then the only other card in the deck, there's two cards, other cards in the deck, I think there is Zombie Infestation, which do you want to read? Do you know? Explain Zombie Infestation.
It's a black and one for an enchantment, and you can do this as many times as you want. You discard two cards, and you make, is it one zombie or two zombies?
You make an arbitrary amount of zombies, let's say. Yeah, it's just one. Discard two, and then you get to make a zombie. Yeah. So the gimmick being, you obviously cast Treasure Hunt, draw, shed loads of land, and then you can play a Zombie Infestation. All the land you draw, and you then just make. So you just make an army of zombies.
Yeah,
but yeah, so it's quite fun, and I quite enjoy watching it. There's a streamer, Jim Davis, quite well known on the SCG circuit, I believe. He streamed this deck, and yeah, it's great fun just to do that. The next one I'm going to show you is even more dank than that, if you can imagine.
Fantastic.
This one again, not mine. I'm gonna post it in the chat, and I'm just gonna talk through the list. And while I'm talking through it, I'm gonna see if you can figure out how you win. So. Okay. It's called
four Emrakuls in it. I feel like that helps.
Spoiler alert, Emrakul does have something to do with it. So this deck...
Thrumming Stone, he says.
This deck is four Emrakul, some lands, Styrum Powder, Sheldrick Isle.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Four Surgical Extraction and 35 Shadowborn Apostles. So Shadowborn Apostle is the one black thing that lets you have as many of those as you want in your library. So
actually quite pricey cards, because of course no one really wants them apart from people that do, and they want like 60 of them. So
yeah, so can you figure out what this deck is trying to do with 35 copies of Shadowborn Apostle?
So you Shadowborn Apostle, then you extirpate it or whatever, or Thrumming Stone to get rid of it or make lots of them. Then your deck is low enough for Sheldon Isle to work, in which case you can hide away, play an Emrakul, am I right?
That's pretty much it, yeah. The dream scenario is turn one, Sheldon Isle for Emrakul, and then at some point get a Shadowborn Apostle into your grave by just not playing anything else for a turn or two, and then discard it to hand size, surgical extract it, and put Emrakul into play off of a Sheldon Isle.
Yeah.
Or Thrumming Stone. Yeah, whatever. Again, very, very silly deck.
Because you either get Emrakul with the Hideaway, or you play a Shadowborn Apostle before you get rid of them all. With Thrumming Stone, you get 35 Shadowborn Apostles on your battlefield.
Yeah. Surprise!
Which I don't think I've seen that many tokens, and obviously more tokens than that, but I don't think I've ever seen that many genuine cards played from that, and that's just amazing. I like that.
He's an X1, isn't he? He's just a 1/1.
What?
Shadowborn Apostle.
Yeah, it's just a 1/1. I think you can... Is it sacrifice him to get, like, a demon or something?
Yeah, there's a ring-scarred demon in the deck as well, which is, like, the demon.
It's a Grizzlebrand as well, so...
Grizzlebrand, yeah. I like the idea, though, that if you were to put all 35 Shadowborn Apostles into play, and if someone had the had a way of, like, killing them at instant speed with, like, the... is it Stellaster Caster? That's just making you, like, go through all that motion. Just like, no, I need you to put all of them into play. Yep. And now they do. So my final one that I found you, this one is marginally more sensible, because it actually does some pretty good. So this is the one that I told you is, it kind of reminds me of both Ponza and Grishelbrand.
Okay.
So this is a deck that I'm actually thinking of just taking it for a spin on a league, just for a laugh, just kind of seeing what happens. So this one, I'm going to go for a bit more detail because it's got a lot of moving pieces. So it's got, I'll go through the lands because they're kind of not really relevant. So it's got four Ashen Rider, which is the big, like, 5/5 flyer, which when it enters the battlefield, you destroy a permanent, and then when it comes back into play, or sorry, when it leaves play, sorry, it then destroys another permanent. Is it exile or is it destroy? No, it's exile, sorry. He exiles a thing. And then you've got Elesh Norn as well, the 7-mana 6/7, which makes all creatures -X, -X, and then your creatures bigger. Vigilance, and then it's got probably one of my favourite creatures, Woodfall Primus, which is like a 6 or 7 mana, like, again, stupidly mana costed thing. When it enters the battlefield, destroy target non-creature permanent, and it's got Persist. So when it dies, it comes back with a counter and destroys something else.
Nice.
So it's got a few Thought Seizes, and then it's got Cathartic Reunions, Collective Brutalities, Faithless Lootings, and some Fatal Pushes. So ways to disrupt its opponent, kill some creatures, get some stuff into the graveyard, and the main way it gets them back is through four copies of Footsteps of the Goyro and three Unburial Rites. So Footsteps of the Goyro is like Goyro's Vengeance, but a bit different. So it's not an instant, it's a 3-mana sorcery, which says return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, sacrifice that creature at the beginning of the next end step. So the biggest restriction, or the biggest difference between this and its other version that's doing a similar thing, is it's not restricting you to only targeting legendaries, so you can bring back any creature like a Woodfall Primus or an Ashen Rider, and it's also got makeshift mannequin as well. It's kind of taking advantage of the fact that you have to lose the creature at the end. So like, if you cast Footsteps of the Goyro on a Woodfall Primus, for example, in your graveyard, so say you've done like a Faithless Looting on turn one, you put a Woodfall Primus in the graveyard, and then on turn three you then cast Footsteps of the Goyro, you get to bring back the Woodfall Primus, who then destroys a land, and then at the end of your turn, he'll then go to the graveyard off of the Footsteps of the Goyro trigger, but then he's got Persist, so he'll persist back, come back, and destroy another land. At which point you've got a massive creature and you're taking that to their lands.
Nice.
And that's kind of what this deck is trying to do. That's basically it right there. And I'm quite a sadist. I quite enjoy land destruction. I don't really know why. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I find it quite fun. I find it quite fun. So yeah, it just puts a bit of a different take on Grizzlebrand type thing, where, you know, putting a big creature in the graveyard and reanimating it. And it's got a couple of Unburial Rites to do that as well. So this one kind of attacking lands and other non-creature stuff as well.
If we're talking silly decks, did I ever talk to you about the silliest deck I found? Which is called Can I Marry Your Daughter?
No.
Okay, I'll put it in the chat. So it revolves around two cards. One you may know, the other one I severely doubt you'll know. One's called Springjack Shepherd from Morning Tide, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one's called Daring Thief from Born of the Gods, I think it is. Or Journey to Nyx, maybe.
I know the Springjack Shepherd guy makes goats, doesn't he?
Okay, cool. We're good. So the deck revolves around using Daring Thief, which says it's one of those ones with Inspired, you know, the when it untaps, it does a thing. Mm-hmm. So when it untaps, you make Stranger control of target non-land permanent you control with target permanent the opponent controls that shares a card type with it. So basically, the whole point of the deck is to trade creatures with your opponent.
Nice.
So you make a lot of goats, and then you steal your opponent's creatures, but give them goats back. So it's called Can't Marry Your Daughter in terms of like a traditional like dowry to buy people's daughters.
Brilliant.
It also contains the Kifkin Harbingers, so you can find stuff. It can tap down creatures so you can get around the goats you give your opponents. It has Elish Nor in it to kill the goats to make your stuff bigger.
Yeah.
It has Dovescape and also Cloud Shift and also Springjack Pasture, if you, in case you couldn't make enough little creatures to trade with your opponent.
Dovescape?
Yeah. Dovescape is whenever a player plays a non-creature spell, counter it, and they get that many birds equal to the CMC instead.
What on earth?
Have you not seen that card? It's from a Dissension, the original Ravnica block.
What a weird card.
Yeah, it's 6 mana, counters every single spell, unless it's a creature spell, and turns it into birds.
I mean, it's funny, but that's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a very weird kind of thing. Oh, and it has, like, Flicker Wisp, so you can get more goats, and Holy Days as well, just to stop stuff. Oh, Glorious Anthem, apparently, to make your goats bigger than their goats.
Goat Fight.
Goat Fight, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Coat of Arms.
Goat of...
Goat Fight. Well, Goat of Arms, yeah.
Goat of...
But yeah, that's if we're talking silly decks, that is the one that I wanted to keep until we were talking proper silly decks, because that's my favourite I found so far.
Very, very silly. I like the, it's just the level of thought of like, right, now that we've given these goats, what's the payoff here? Like, oh, Coat of Arms. Yeah, got it. They're doing it.
Other than that, I don't know what else to compete with, but I like the interaction between the Goryeo's Footsteps of the Goryeo and it not exiling, because you get it because of Persit, and that's quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Actually getting quite a lot of value out of it. It turns from, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be as good as the actual Griselbrand deck. I mean, that's clearly actually really quite good and aggressive and very linear. Just as a tank that's attacking from a different angle, I just quite interesting. I like the idea of you're ending up with a big threat in play if you have the Woodfall Primers. You're actually turning Ashen Rider into, because what you're doing is you're kind of creating a situation where you're Faithless Looting or your Cathartic Reunion, you get cards, and then you're basically playing a 3-mana, you're playing a Stone Rain, which either is like 2 Stone Rains or 2 Stone Rains, and you get a big thing off of it as well.
Yeah. I can't remember what the term is. I think it was called like bacon and eggs at some point. But the you know, the Protean Hulk with Disciple of the Vault thing. Okay. But that's another one that I really like that I want to build. That I think a lot of older players like, are really familiar with it, but newer players just don't know it exists. Which I think is quite a nice little one to.
Have you got a list for it?
Yeah, that one. Oh, hang on, is it private? I don't know if it's because when I copy decks, I see sometimes it automatically copies them to. No, that's fine. No, yeah, so it's got 4 Protean Hulks, which if you don't know what Protean Hulk does, it's a 7-mana 6/6. When it dies, you search your library for any number of creatures with total converted mana cost 6 or less and put them into play. So what you do with this is you look for creatures that cost 0 or very cheap, and then do lots of triggers at once. So it has Disciple of the Vault, which is a 1/1 for 1 black mana, which is when an artifact is put into graveyard from play, you may have to target opponent lose 1 life. So what you do is you get your Protean Hulk into play with something like Through the Breach or Footsteps of Goryeo or whatever. Then when it dies, you make loads of Ornithopters and Memnites or whatever you want that cost 0. Sacrifice them to something like Viscerous Seer or anything else with Sacrifice Outlet. You also look for like 4 Disciple of Vaults. So then when your 4 or 5 whatever Ornithopters go to the graveyard, then it's, you know, 5x4, 20 damage and your opponent dies.
I like it.
It's through the Breach is definitely one of those cards that, well, 1, needs reprinting.
Yeah.
And 2 is the kind of thing I do want to play it off just to do silly decks like this occasionally, just because they are quite fun.
Are you not counting the Masterpiece reprint?
No.
The invocation, even. No, that doesn't count?
No, I don't count. No. I'm looking in my casual/silly folder as we speak. I do have that on tap.
It's all coming out today.
I have got a lot of decks on here. It's taken quite a while to load.
I like the idea that you've just lagged it up because there's just so many.
Did I talk about the budget Phyrexian mana deck?
No.
So I did a search online for like budget decks that, you know, literally like less than $20 to play or whatever. So this one uses the card Rage Extractor, which I don't know if you know. Very random.
It's from Mirrodin, isn't it? Or It's from like New Phyrexia or Mirrodin, isn't it?
Yeah. It's another Phyrexian card, yeah. So Rage Extractor. So it's a 5-mana artifact, but it's 4 in red Phyrexian, so you know, technically 4-mana. But basically, when you cast a spell with Phyrexian in its mana cost, it deals damage equal to the CMC of the spell. Yeah. So what you do is you just have a deck full of Phyrexian cards. You play Rage Extractor, obviously, like, you know, turn 4, or you can get it slightly earlier with some of the stuff that makes it cheaper. Because you have, like, Vedalken Engineer, which is that one that chats for 2 mana as long as it's an artifact. And loads of other life gain effects, like Rest for the Weary or Nyxfleece Ram, whatever, just to stop yourself from dying from all the threat. And then you just bang out like a Vault Scourge, they take 2. You play a Porcelain Legionnaire, they take 3. Tezzeret's Gambit, they take 4. Like, you know, it's all good stuff. Norn's Annex, which is they can't attack you unless they pay white Phyrexian for each creature attacking you, and that's a 5-mana artifact by itself, so that's 5 damage to them. Yeah, it's just it's interesting, and there's nothing in the deck that's worth more than, like, I don't know, apart from, you know, the land, which I think I changed myself. Apart from the land, is worth more than like $3.
I really like this. You say like Norn's Annex is 5 mana, but it's you're never going to pay it for 5. You're going to try
exactly. Yeah, it's 3. Yeah, because it's double white. Yeah.
And I know it's not an ensnaring bridge, but I mean, that's probably the wrong comparison. It's not really. It's not quite the same as a ghostly prison. But it's on a par. And if you're threatening their life total with other stuff, and it's one sided as well, isn't it? It's only when people attack you. So that's cool. Noxious Revival was good. I like it. I think there's some interesting stuff there. I like the idea of trying to just do as much with Phyrexian mana as possible.
Yeah. What was the other one? This was another weird one. I'm going to have to try and remember the interaction, I think. But it's an ally deck before allies were... but it has... You know, there's the milling ally, the blue one?
Yeah.
So when it comes to play, they mill X where X is the number of allies you control. So basically, you run him, so Halimar's Excavator.
Yep.
You run the green one, just because it taps you for mana. And the blue one, which becomes a copy of something.
Yep.
And you can search them. It's got like Serum Visions and stuff, but you can search for them with Weird Harvest. It's also got Muddle the Mixture, so you can transmute into it. And basically, you look for an excavator, ideally like copy it or play another copy of it. So Weird Harvest is the one they were choosing for to look for, like, you know, multiple copies so you can play them later. But then you run Doubling Charm, which is a 6-mana green spell, which is for each creature you control. You may search your library for a creature card with the same name as that creature and put one to the battlefield. So I think the way, I can't remember what the critical number is, but let's say you've got 2 excavators in play. You then Doubling Charm to look for, like, say if you had 2 and a copy, you Doubling Charm, you look for 3 of them, you play them, and then it would be like 6 times 6 times 3, I think.
Jesus. So you just kill them on spot.
I think that's how it works. I haven't looked at the deck for a while. The guy that originally made this, which I think I have credited in my... he's got the original. Here we go. So you can do it by turn 4. So you turn 1 forest, turn 2 island and the green mana guy, turn 3 another land, excavator, tap the druid to play 3 because you've got 3 allies in play, turn 4 tap all lands, play a druid, play Doubling Charm. So you get 2 excavators, 4 allies enter the battlefield, but you have 8 allies now, all of them proc at once. So effectively you have 2 times 4 times 8, which equals 64, so it mills out the opponent onto turn 4.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's just a numbers thing, but it was you have to look at the cards and slowly work through it to work out the exact numbers of how that all works. But it's an interesting one. I like it.
I think it's really interesting. I think if I was to play this, I would probably not play Weird Harvest. That is odd.
There are better cards now.
Yeah. What does Simic Charm give you? Target creature gets plus 2/+. Penalty control and hexproof. That's interesting. Or bounce a creature.
I think again, this was made as kind of a cheap deck, so they've just got like, oh, green blue. Let's put a thing in that's good and green blue.
Yeah, definitely. I would cut those 2 things. That's 6 cards there. I think Remand is excellent. Muddle the Mixture.
You can transmute it as well as it being a good counterspell.
Oh, and it's good. Yes. Okay. I love transmute.
I wish they'd redo that because so many of my decks have tried, like, of my weird decks. I'm like, oh, it's a weird combo deck. Let's put some transmute into it.
But as you say, it transmutes for all the pieces you want as well. So yeah, I'd go with that, and I'd put something like maybe even Call of Callings and trim some lands, get some Birds of Paradise in there, and things like Noxious Revival or Eternal Witness. just to get stuff back, because people are obviously going to kill the bits you want alive.
Yeah, I think that's what the Cynic Charm does as well, by hexproof and stuff.
Well, that's true. But I think you'd probably want either a Spell Pierce, a more generic kind of counter spell, or either Apostle's Blessing, which is for X mana, one colourless, or what's the green one? Blossoming Defense.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one, yeah.
Because
again, I think this is at least from like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I appreciate if it's...
At least 4 years ago, yeah.
Four years old. But I love that the thing is still a thing you can do. Appreciate they've got archive traps in there. I love a good archive trap. But if the combo's as potent as you say, I think I just go hard on that.
I agree, yeah. I agree with that.
Play that and play more shitloads of more clones. The two mana clone plays in Merfolk.
Wouldn't work with doubling charm. Oh, no, hang on. Oh, no, it just says for each. Yeah, so you can target it. Yeah, that's not bad, actually. Yeah, I'd do that. Also, just as an aside, it's not really a deck. It's more just two cards I haven't seen used together yet. There's a... I can't remember what it's called. It's a 5-mana ally, which is when you play an ally, you get a... Is it a 2-2 wolf? And I think it gets a 1-1 counter on it or something.
Yep.
But if you run that with... Is it that spell from Ixalan? Is it Adaptation, I think it's just called?
Oh, right.
Where everything in your hand, deck, and in play is whatever creature type you want it to be. So basically, you play him, you play anything, its ability triggers, the wolf also becomes an ally, and it makes an infinite combo to make as many wolves as you want.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah. I can't remember what that's called. I'll have a look for it. Green ally that costs 5. That should narrow it down quite well.
I have a rules question for you when you've done that.
Turn Timber Ranger. So when it enters the battlefield, when it or another ally enters the battlefield, oh, okay, so you just have to play him and the combo goes off. Also, very importantly, it says May, because if it didn't say May, the game just ends as a draw, so...
Oh, wonderful.
When it enters the battlefield or another ally enters the battlefield, you may create a 2-2 green wolf. If you do, put a 1-1 counter on him. So basically, you play Adaptation, you play that, you go, cool, I've got 100 wolves, and he's now 102. Awesome. So, you know, you play Adaptation turn 3, you play him turn 5, I think that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Win game.
Rules question, go.
My rules question is doubling charm. So
yes.
Each creature you control, search your library for a creature card, same name.
Yes.
Put it onto the battlefield.
Yes.
So I cast doubling charm.
Yep. Clone, yeah?
Yeah. So let's say I have a Halimar Excavator.
Yes.
It wouldn't work with a clone, would it? Because...
No, unfortunately not, because the clone counts as the other one.
That's fine. So
ideally you want to play one Excavator and as many clones as you can and then doubling charm the Excavators out.
Yeah. So let's say I have some arbitrary number of creatures in play, and I cast Doubling Charm.
Yep.
That goes on the stack.
Yep.
And my opponent kills all my creatures in response.
Yeah.
So does the spell just do nothing?
Yeah, you'd have no creatures left for it to resolve with. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why counter spells are kind of important for this.
Yeah.
Particularly because, 5 mana stuff in Modern's already a bit like, ooh, even if it's a finisher, but 6 is quite steep. But then, to be fair, you've got this druid thing, and the guy says that, you know, as long as you're not getting stuff killed all the time, is actually not bad for mana.
Well, it's interesting because you could play things like Pact of Negation if you go, right, I'm going to...
Oh, yeah, yeah, if you're going to do it that turn, that'd be good. Oh, no, hang on. Yeah, because then your opponent would draw, they'd lose, and then, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I think there are... I've put them in the sideboard, actually. So, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I would do that. Just main deck them. That's great. No, I mean, you know, you see Pact of Negation in a few decks, but I think no one really expects it to be in stuff other than, you know, like Ritual Brand kind of style ones. That's quite cool.
Mm. Well, it comes down to I'm trying to stop the opponent from stopping me. And, you know, you're trying to do something which is quite, you know, tapping out 6 mana... massive alarm bells of like, please cast Cryptic Command on this spell. You know, it's what you need.
Yeah.
Even something like Silence. I just go, right, Silence, and then do the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How is Cavern of Souls still the price that it is? Because it flagged up there. It went down and just went straight back up again.
I think it gets to a point where people just, I don't know, it's just daft. They just stick around this. It's not even played that much. Like, looking at... it's just elves, isn't it? Elves, humans.
And merfolk if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's still like 80. I'm so glad I got my playset when they're only like 30.
Yeah, well done you. I have not. Yeah, no, I don't get it. It's a bit steep, really.
Oh, there's one that I've just made myself. It's not really made, it's just I've put cards in it and it's the right sort of number. It's based around, I had a big thing of getting really into a lot of the quest cards. So I didn't play back when the quest cards from, I don't know, Rise of the Eldrazi and all that sort of World Wake, I think it was maybe, weren't around. And I played it for a bit in the is it Quest for the Holy Relic? I think that's one of the most played ones.
Yeah,
but it's actually not terrible. This one's got Quest for Ula's Temple, which no one knows or plays or whatever. I don't know if you... Do you know this one? There's several for each one, but it's the blue one with the whole Kraken, Serpent, Octopus thing.
Yep.
So, beginning of upkeep, So, it's one blue mana, which I always love stuff like that, where you can just start with a thing. At the beginning of upkeep, you may look at the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, you may reveal it and put a quest counter on it. Then, at the beginning of each end step, if there are three or more quest counters on it, you can put a Kraken, Leviathan, Octopus, or Serpent creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. So, basically, the whole deck is just land, four enchantments, and 35 creatures. And all the creatures are either big, you know, massive Leviathan-y things, or creatures that get in the way of stuff, or in particular Scry. So it's got like a playset of like Augury Owls and Omen Speakers, and it's also got some Thrumming Birds as well, just proliferate the quest counters.
Nice.
Or Thassa's, just so you've got a passive Scry each turn, just so you can make sure there is a creature on top. And then the rest of it's just full of like Inkwell Leviathans, Pearl Lake Ancients, Simic Sky Swallowers, yeah, just crazy stuff.
Brilliant.
So I don't know how it would work. I've never played it, never even come close to building it, but I like the idea of just playing that turn one and everyone's going like, what?
Yeah, Kraken dot.
And just be like, you know, some player that would have won on like turn four, turn five. It's like, yeah, you know, you just smacked me twice with two Inkwell Leviathans and I died, you know.
So that is all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening and stay tuned for more. Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye. Okay.